This week, the stock market fell farther than ever. Iceland went bankrupt as a country. How does that happen? I don't know. Markets are staggering across the world, and I'm telling you, there has never been a better time to be alive. Absolutely. I have never been more excited. I have been chomping at the bits to get started. In the first service, I did 45 minutes, and I was just burning the house down. But this is really important because the scriptures are true when they say, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. We are now in a situation where we must live in community in this nation and rebuild the broken bridges of trust. Because that's what this is all about. The economy, ladies and gentlemen, does not run on money. It runs on trust. And if I trust you, I will buy from you. If I trust, I'm going to have my job. I want to go out to eat. I want to buy the necessities of life. And commerce is going to go on. This is about trust. And we are living in a culture whose trust has been deeply damaged. And we are reeling emotionally back and forth in what to do. These are crisis times, but I want to tell you in God's holy name, we were built for these times. Christianity has always flourished in times of crisis, has always become corrupt in times of prosperity. A couple of years ago, some of you know, I went to New York to debate one of the most virulent atheists in America today. I'm not mentioning his names. They don't want to give me any publicity. But we were sitting around the table, and we were going at it, and I was going through this long history of why, you know, believing in God is toxic, and Christians ought to be jailed, and, you know, made illegal, and all this other stuff, And he was talking about why Christianity has basically died in Europe, which is certainly not true, and then why it's flourished historically in America. And so he went past that statement, and I backed up and said, I'm really interested to know, what is the difference? And he said, the difference is in America, Christianity has always been entrepreneurial. In other European and other major developed countries, it has always been civil. And you know what that means? It means in America that the government doesn't pay our rent. It doesn't sustain the gathering. It doesn't sustain any church. We don't get any government money. No, not even government cheese. And if we don't help people and bless people, the gathering will go out of business as it should. But that's why the church is the answer for the problems. And going back to church in America today is the first, best, real, substantive things we can do to make a difference in our future. Because the hope, when the church is done right, the church is the hope of the world. Now, I've been beat up by the church, and so have you, but it doesn't give us any excuse to look at Jesus and say, I love you, but your bride is ugly. Think about it. You say, what does that mean? In the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus died that the church may be formed. What is a church? A gathering of people who place their trust and hope and faith firmly, solidly today and forevermore in the resurrected Jesus Christ. That he has a plan and he's working that plan and he's not upset. He's not wringing his hands and he has not left the building and thrown us the keys. This is the truth and this is what we need to stand up in concert and say across America that we were made for these times and we need to be together and work together and get connected together and live in tribes together. Though how God has put us together is a good thing. We ought to celebrate it. And here's what we need to say loud and clear, that if you have faith, you have hope, and you have hope, you have everything. Say it with me. If you have faith, you have hope. If you have hope, you have everything. Say it one more time. If you have faith, you have hope. If you have hope, you have everything. Amen. That's what we need. That's what our country needs. Our country doesn't need another bailout program. It needs men and women like me and you who work hard from Monday to Friday, who love our children and love our God and pay our taxes, to step up with a smile and great joy and say, this is the greatest land on the earth and we own every blade of dirt and every day of prosperity to the good hand of our great God. Amen? And remind people that it can no longer be Republican and Democrat and Baptist and Methodist and Charismatic. It can no longer be liberal and conservative. It must be, for none of us live to himself alone and none of us dies to himself alone. We are in this together. What is the first not good in the Bible? It is not good that man should be what? Alone. As a matter of fact, just short of electrocuting you or hanging you or shooting you, the only thing left to us in forms of truly severe punishment for prisoners who are incorrigible, aloneness. And some of you are in this place alone and you're afraid and you're worried. People filed out of here in the first service. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm no longer afraid. Yay, God, you shouldn't be. You have no reason to be. God didn't die last night or last week or at the debate out at Belmont. But a lot of people feel alone. Do you feel alone? Let me ask you three questions. Do you feel overlooked? I mean, don't we all feel that way sometime? You know, we're not the star performer. I love living in Nashville. Don't you love this place? Oh, God, thank you so much. When I die, I hope I just spend it. I think I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. And in heaven, Nashville is going to be, you know, close to the throne. Los Angeles is going to be back in the cornfield somewhere. But God loves country music. And don't you forget that, mister. You do know what they call when you pitch a banjo into a dumpster and it doesn't hit any of the sides? Perfect pitch. I don't know. I just thought of that. Jesus tells a story about a woman who's overlooked because all she had was a couple pennies. Here's the story. All these people, they go to worship. This is what God's people do. They gather to worship. And this is the best, most substantive thing an American can do today. If you want God to heal our land, we need to bring people to church. Gathering is really important. God has not given up on the idea that his church gathers every 7 days to worship him and adore him and to retrain their mind. Remember what we said last week. We are creating image of God, which means we are thinking, acting, feeling, being. We need our mind transformed by the truth. Not religion, but the truth. But Jesus tells a story to illustrate a truth, and that is you go to the temple and there's this big brass pots on either side of the entrance of the outer court. And you know, when the wealthy people would come in, they would throw their money in, and all their money in those days was what we call loud money. Made out of rock and stone and metal and press. And they would throw it in and this big loud. People would look. Who's in church today? Maybe that's Stallone is here. Maybe Stallone is here. Maybe it's Tom and Katie. I don't know. Who's here? Somebody important, because man, that thing was ringing. And then a widow comes in and she says, ding. They go, eh. It's just the old bag. The old spinster. It's the unclaimed blessing coming back to the temple praying for a man. Doesn't she know about E-harmony? Okay. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor woman has put more money into the treasury than all the others. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You don't give a cup of cold water. You don't do a kind thing. But what God Almighty sees it and marks it and checks it, and you get credit for it. Amen. So let me just say to all you who volunteer at the gathering and give it to gathering, you teach kids, you park cars, you set up, you take, you dim. Let me tell you something. You ain't doing that for me. And you're not doing it for everybody in this room. Ultimately, you're doing it for a God who loves it, who accepts it, who embraces it, but will always reward it. Not one thing done for God is ever lost. And so if you feel overlooked, uncelebrated, or undervalued, anybody ever feel undervalued? How about this? God calls Moses to lead Israel out of bondage. What's his qualification? Nothing. He's been on the backside of nowhere for 40 years. He comes to him and says, you're the guy. You're going to go out and you're going to be the champion. You're going to be the hero. You're going to be the new Iron Man with, you know, a robe on. And what did Moses say? Yes, good. I'm sick and tired of being out here and tending to goats. I want some recognition. I want to be on CNN and ESPN and TBS and CNBC and CMT. They don't play music anymore, so why not CGAC? Just whatever. I saw the Beverly Hillbillies the other night on CMT. That'll freak you out right there. That's a sign the world's coming to an end. So what did Moses say? He said, I'm not a guy for a job like that. Now, most of us won't say that out public. That's exactly how we talk to ourselves. You are bathed in self-doubt and self-pity. As long as you live that way, you will live alone because you will never let anyone in for fear that they're going to find out the truth. And you know what the truth is? The truth is, Bubba, you are screwed up. Join the human race. You are not perfect. Well, la-dee-da. I would say freaking da, but I wouldn't say that in public. Do you feel overlooked, undervalued? How about this? Do you feel intimidated? Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what was going to happen. Things are changing, and this is truly is an exciting time. I'm so glad to be where I am at my age at this place and all fired up. I remember I've been a Christian about 3 or 4 years, and I was talking to a deacon one day, and we don't have deacons, and we never will, by the way, so don't run. You know, deacon, I know some church. I was talking to this guy, and you know, I guess I was fairly obnoxious. But, when Jesus came into my life, buddy, I don't know about you, but it changed. I mean, it changed. I was still rough as a cob and still am, but golly, man. I mean, this was like, you know, fruit basket turnover. The deacon took me aside one day, and he said, you know what, you're all fired up and excited, and I know you think you want to preach. And it has been less than 3 years, and I know you're going to go to college and all this other stuff. But you know what, you need to let this percolate because you'll get over this. To get over what? He said, all this excitement. You know what I said in my heart that day, and I say it today, and I mean it, enough to say it before God, if I lose my joy and my zeal in Jesus Christ, I'd just soon die. Because I'll tell you what, what would be left of me sucks. If you don't believe that, just ask my family over there, and they would be more than happy to tell you. What does the Bible say? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor as you serve the Lord. And as God is my witness, I've tried my best to do that. But I have to tell you, I face things that scare me and intimidate me every single day, but they will not stop me. And they shouldn't stop you either. These are intimidating days. So what do? We pull in and we whine and we cry and we're not going to buy a house and we're not going to buy a car. We're not going to do this because the economy's bad. We're going to wait till it gets better. And if everyone waits till it gets better, there won't be one. Sorry. I know you're saying, my gosh, what's wrong with him? You know, I'm fired up, man. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God says, never will I leave you or forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can you do to me? You can fire me. Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. But you can't stop me. You know why? Because I got a $10 bill. And what's great about this $10 bill is it says, in God we trust, right on the back of it. Amen? And that ticks a lot of people off, and I think that's great. I hope it just pisses a bunch of people. I mean, tick, bunch of people get happy. In God we trust. Well, give your $10 bill to me, Bubba. I'll take it. And I'm just asking this question. Do we really want to be talking about taking that off right now? No, I don't think so. Hello. Yeah, you know what? You will feel undervalued, underloved, underappreciated. It is always intimidating time. But trust me when I tell you that a man or woman has faith, has hope, and he has hope, has everything. Now, let me say this in a hurry because I went way too long, and I won't do this this time because Paul is over here watching. Some of you are lonely because of those reasons, and I have great compassion for you, and I'm begging you to come out of that. Come out of that corner. Come out of, get off a computer. Cancel eHarmony.com. Come on, I know they're nice people, but get out in the real world. Amen? Get out in the real world. And quit downing yourself and doubting yourself. God created you a thinking, acting, feeling individual. You bear his image, and you are worth knowing, and we need you. Okay? No man lives from... You can subscribe to the Simon Garfunkel theology of life if you want to. I am a rock. I am an island. I touch no one. No one touches me. Here I am safe with my poetry and my books. You know what that is? That's stupid. Let me just call it what it is. It's stupid. It sounds good. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Come to see me again. Okay. You know how these guys look? Drugged up. They look weird. They are weird. I'm not sure we want to be following their philosophy, do you? You aren't a rock. You aren't an island. You need other people. So here's what I want to take a little twist here and say. Some of you are lonely because you're just a booger to live with. No one wants to be around you. You have no people skills whatsoever. You're laughing like you know somebody like that, or you might be sitting next to someone like that, or maybe you are related to someone like that, or maybe you married someone like that, and you're going, get them, Dave, get them, but you're trying to be Simon. Here are three conditions under which absolutely no one's going to want to go get coffee with you. One, if you're self-absorbed. Fix me, help me, love me, take care of me, get me connected, get me a job, get me a car, help me, give me some money. Have you been around people and life has been so bad for them, there is not another human being who has suffered such injustice as they? And you want to just say to them, get a freaking life. Get off my back, get away from me, get another job. File for unemployment. Do something. Divorce my son-in-law. I just don't know. You're killing me. But this, it's just like if you're the kind of person, you get around people and you just got to sell them, tell them your sad bucket story. You got a big bucket and you just, you know, sad stories. And you just, hey, here's my, would you like to look in my bucket? No. Because guess what? I got my own bucket. I don't need my bucket and your bucket. Amen? All right. So enough said, I guess. Two, you will be lonely if you are a sour and cynical person. Listen to this. Never criticize. You know what never means in the Greek? Never. Have you been to seminary, sir? I mean, it took me 3 years and quite a bit of money to figure that one out. Never, never criticize. Yeah, but shut up. Never, 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 never. Say it with me. Never, 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 never criticize. One more time. Never, 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 never criticize. Say this with me. It takes no size to criticize. It takes no size to criticize. Never criticize or condemn or it will come back on yo! Yes, I've learned that. I've learned that. People ask me, how did you survive going through this difficult time in your life? And, you know, boy, I have pastors, you know, who had a guy come up from Florida who've gone through this similar situation I'd gone through. And, man, how'd you make it? And I'm embarrassed to say, you know how I've made it? I have been so well loved and cared for and taken care of, and people have been so good and so gracious. But here's what God has told me. Two things. One, what you give people when you're up and they're down is what they're going to give you back when you're down and they're up. So if you beat the poo-poo out of people and you're judgmental and cynical and critical when you're up and they're hurting, trust me, brother, the table will turn. I'm not ashamed to tell you this, that when I went through a really dark period of my life, the pastors in this town were good to me. In particular, I'll just say it out loud. I wouldn't usually do this, but I'll do it because it's actually nice. There's a guy, pastor of a church called Brentwood Baptist Church, and that's a Baptist church, ladies and gentlemen. You pass it, and it just reeks Baptist. They wear suits there. I have a suit. But they're the best kind of Baptist you can be. I'm just telling you, they have a great pastor, maybe one of the best speakers in our city. And his name is Mike Glenn. And Mike Glenn called me at the darkest hour of my life, invited me into his beautiful office and sat down with me and talked with me and loved on me and cared about me, invited me and walked with me and cared over time. And I was leaving his office one day I said, "Thank you, Mike." I mean, we've known each other. We haven't been all that close, but thank you so much. He said, "I really appreciate it." He said, "You know, don't thank me, but here's the deal. When it's my turn, brother, you better be there." I thought, here is a wise man. Amen. Here is a wise man. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we all hurt. We're all going to be betrayed. We're going to talk about it next week. What do you do when you feel betrayed? This is not new. You haven't been picked out by God to be picked on. But if you let all the negative, you let all the fear and all the headlines, and you read everything about how terrible life is, you will become a cynic. And that is not image bearing. That is not what you were created. You dehumanize yourself. I was in a group of guys this week, Christian guys, good Christian guys, smart Christian guys, successful Christian guys. And one guy was just ranting about this and ranting about that, and you know, and all the liberals and all. I get sick of hearing that. And he said, "Yeah," and he said, "You know, capitalism is evil because someone's got to win, and someone's got to lose." And he goes on down the road. I'm thinking, okay, these are all business people. Surely somebody's going to stop him. He kept going and ran around. I said, "You know, we'll back up about 30 minutes. You said capitalism is evil?" "Yeah." I said, "You got to help me on that one." He said, "That's because in capitalism, someone wins, someone loses." I said, "No, that's socialism." Capitalism is when you do something that helps me do what I want to do, and I pay you for it, thankfully, happily, and you make a profit. I win, you win. And that's what sucks about our economy, is that we have cast business into some kind of evil light. That somehow a company making a profit is evil. Companies who make profits pay wages and taxes and build houses and roads and send kids to college. This is a good thing. This is a God thing. And if I had more time, I could prove it. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, we just listen to people say so. I heard a prominent pastor, nationally prominent,